The Salvation Army's human touch and understanding heart in action.
This is my song.
With music by the Salvation Army band and songsters devoted to
praising my Savior.
The Salvation Army offers a period of inspiration in story and song. To open the program, here is band music, extracts from the tone poem Where Duty Calls, recalling the militant hymn tune Stand Up for Jesus. From the book of the prophet Isaiah are sung now by the Salvation Singers, who present the selection Break Forth into Joy. Thank you. of the best known and best loved hymns of all time, Abide With Me. Inspiration in story and song. Our story today tells of a man who tumbled to God. Listen.
Hurry, 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 skip.
Breathes there a boy with a soul so dead who never to himself has said,
I'm gonna run away and join the circus.
Yes, there's a lure to the big top. Mind you, it's fast passing away. Today, a boy is liable to say to himself,
I'm going to run away and be a jet pilot.
But in the days of this true story of Earl Buster Ellis, and many of us can remember those days, the circus was the big event of the year. One day, the red and gold wagons of Barnum and Bailey's mighty circus rattled down the main street of the sleepy town where Buster lived.
I'm going to run away and join the circus.
Look out, kid! You're in the way of the pile driver. Stand back!
Gee, mister, won't you let me help, won't you?
Oh, what could a kid like you do around a circus?
I can tumble. Watch.
Say, the kid ain't bad at that.
Aw, oh, tumblers is a dime a dozen. Hey, officer!
Oh, why don't you give the kid a break?
I am. I'm sending him home. That's the best break a circus mug can give any kid.
You call me?
Yeah. This kid here wants to run away and join the circus.
He does, huh?
Hmm.
Say, I know you. You're that circus crazy Ellis boy. Come along home with me.
There were other times when Buster came close to running away. One night, a Negro medicine show advertised an amateur night. Buster entered the contest, this time with his mother's consent.
I'm that nervous, Buster.
Oh, I'll do all right, Ma. You wait and see.
And now, Master Buster Ellis. Doing his famous tumbling specialty.
Here I go, Ma.
Good luck, son.
Say, that kid's good.
He's my boy.
You don't say. Well, you've a remarkable son. Takes a great deal of native ability for a lad to tumble like that without instruction.
Oh, I think Buster's won, don't you?
If he didn't, there isn't any justice. Madam, my card.
handed me this card. He seems such a nice man.
Edward Armstrong, the world's champion forward tumbler. Gee, everybody's heard of him. Did he say I was good? Honest, Ma, did he?
Yeah, Buster, he did. But don't let it give you any notions. That kind forget quick.
But Edward Armstrong didn't forget. And a week later, Widow Ellis received a letter on impressive hotel stationery asking her to...
Let your son come to me and be educated and trained to make a fortune in the circus. Just think of that.
Oh, Ma, say yes. Please say yes. Won't you, Ma? Won't you, please?
Well...
Ma...
I guess so.
Oh, boy.
How old are you, my boy?
Oh, please, mister. I'm waiting for my train. I have to wait all night for a train to the city. Oh, please don't run me in.
Bless your heart. I'm not a policeman.
But your uniform...
I'm Captain Hunt of the Salvation Army. How old are you, my son?
Please, sir, I'm 10.
Oh, then I'll see about getting you a room. You can't sleep here all night.
The next morning, Buster Ellis heard his newfound friend singing a strange song.
Your gold will waste and wear away, your honors perish in a day. My fortune never can decay. Christ for me, Christ for me.
But young Buster Ellis was too full of his adventure to inquire further into the meaning of the strange song. He parted with Captain Hunt and sought out the great Edward Armstrong. He found him at the Cherry Blossom, a showboat anchored not far from the city on the big river.
Gee, this is exciting, Mr. Armstrong.
Think so, son? Well, we'll see.
What do you mean, sir?
Just that. We'll see.
And in the weeks and months and years to come, Earl Buster Ellis saw and understood. Edward Armstrong was a cruel and relentless taskmaster who drove his troop, including Buster and a red-headed boy of 14 known as Jinx, relentlessly. Furthermore, the education Armstrong had promised Buster's mother was not forthcoming. Armstrong soon realized that young Buster Ellis had something. Audiences loved the boy, and this made Armstrong all the more unrelenting.
One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four.
Please,
one.
Mr. Armstrong, I've been at it for hours. I'm tired.
Talk back to me, will you? Get on with it. Get on with it. One, two,
and
three,
so it went,
four,
with kicks and blows and without money or clothes or friends. The tyrant Armstrong kept the boys well in line, but rebellion brewed. And finally, Jinx whispered to Buster.
I've had enough, Buster. I'm getting out of here.
He'll follow us. We wouldn't have a chance.
Then we'll have to get him to Canis.
How can we do that?
Well, wait until we get to the big city. Then mess up the act. Do all the tricks wrong. He'd have to fire us then, and he wouldn't have no show.
Well, fate seemed to play along with the boys. Armstrong fell in a somersault and broke his arm. On the final rehearsal before opening night, he was in a towering rage, but no match physically for the two husky boys.
Do 10 somersaults, Buster.
Just try and make
me.
Yeah, you can't catch me. You can't
Jinx.
Catch me.
I won't do it neither.
Oh, I get it. You think I'm helpless. Well, I'm not. You haven't any clothes. You haven't any money. You're in a strange city. Well, you're fired. I'll take you back when you come crawling.
Hooray, we're fired.
We're canned.
Hooray.
Guide the can to us. Hooray. Oh,
dumbfounded, Armstrong helplessly watched the eager boys cartwheel out of his life. But he was right. They were in a strange and terrible city, alone, friendless, and hungry. Finally, as though led by the hand of Providence, they turned into a public gymnasium. And as boys will, not thinking too much of the future, they began to practice their tumbling, chanting all the while.
We're canned! We're canned! Hooray! We're canned! Hooray!
A cadaverous individual hooray. Stood watching them with keen, appraising eyes.
Well, it's pretty good tumbling, boys.
Oh, we're happy, mister.
Yeah, you seem to be. But what makes you so happy about being discharged from your employment?
We're not going to be slaves no more.
Oh, I see. May I inquire the name of this slave driver?
Edward Armstrong.
Armstrong, eh? I thought you'd learned your tumbling from a master, but he's a hard man. I've heard stories about him, but this is the first time that I... Hey, look here, you're hired.
Well, what are you trying to give us, mister? We're hired.
That's what I said. I'm offering you a job if you want it.
Who are you, mister?
The name, son, is P.T. Barnum.
Barnum.
The one and only, boys. Like to seal the bargain with a dinner downtown?
Oh, yeah.
And so, after years of cruelty and hard work beyond his strength, Buster Ellis came to the big top, to the biggest big top, the Barnum and Bailey Circus, a discovery of the great P.T. himself.
Presenting the world's greatest tumbling act, the one and only, the great Buster Ellis and Jenks.
It was too much to expect that young Buster Ellis could stand all this prosperity after the years he had suffered at Armstrong's hands. Buster sent money home to his mother regularly, but he also spent more and more money on liquor. It gained a hold on him. It began to show in his performances.
You'll have to get hold of yourself, Buster. We're almost on.
I'm okay, okay, I tell you. Joe and me, we had a few, that's all.
Yes.
Joe's greatest little fellow you ever saw. Joe's best tightrope walker you ever saw, eh, Joe?
Buster, maybe you can get through with our act, but Joe's a high wire worker. He'll kill himself.
Joe'll be all right, won't you, Joe?
You're on next, Mr. Ellis.
Then Joe, good old Joe, came out for his high wire act. He teetered on the wire and the audience loved it. They thought it funny. They thought it part of the act. But the circus folk held their breaths. It seemed Joe would get away with it, and then...
Let me through! Joe, oh boy, are you all right? Are you all right?
Come away, Buster.
What's the matter? Let me talk to Joe.
You'll never talk to Joe again. He hit the spike supporting his wire. It went through him. Joe's dead, Buster. Dead.
Yes, good old Joe was dead. And suddenly the big top was shabby to young Buster Ellis. The greatest tumbler in the business was learning more about other things.
I killed him.
Nonsense, Buster. Drink killed him.
That's just it. I got him to drink.
It was the end of the season, and Earl Buster Ellis went home to his mother.
Mother, who is Christ? Well, who is he?
I taught you to pray to him when you was little. I got a New Testament here, son. I'll get it. Maybe it'll help you.
Buster pored over the old, old story, absorbing its message of love and mercy. And then to his mind came a memory of a 10-year-old boy and of a man in a strange uniform who sang.
Your gold will waste and wear away. Your honors perish in a day. My portion never can decay. Christ for me, Christ for me.
I'll make it up to you, Joe. I'll do what's right. My life will make up for yours.
Earl Buster Ellis, the greatest tumbler in show business, in whose ears the applause of tens of thousands had resounded deafeningly, became a humble worker in the army of the Lord. After years of work and service, he became Major Earl Ellis of the Salvation Army, today in charge of one of its large corps. He married Emma Enkemeyer, herself an officer in the Army, and they have two children, Francis and Earl Jr. He's brought many men, victims of self-indulgence, weakness, or willfulness, to their senses. Well, while on Salvation Army business several years ago, he slipped and fractured his thigh. When his old friends, who knew him when he was Earl Buster Ellis, tumbler extraordinary, see him hobbling along in his crippled leg, they are moved to pity. But his boyhood companion and lifelong friend, Jinx, says...
Now Buster Ellis flies higher than any of us.
Well, what do you mean, Jinx?
We have to keep our feet on the ground. Major Earl Ellis has tumbled to God. His heart has wings, and his goodness reaches the souls of all the men he meets. No, my friend, if there is any pity, the pity should come from Buster for us.
Thank you.
Perhaps the most encouraging and inspiring experience that can come to any observer of men and things is to see the human personality suddenly lose all interest in itself and just as suddenly start to devote all its energies, its capabilities, its influences to the benefiting of others. The reason for the change may or may not be obvious, but in all likelihood, the reason is a divine one. To Earl Buster Ellis, famous acrobat of the Big Top, God spoke above the sounds of carnival and human carelessness and led him back to the sights and sounds of his boyhood, so the divine call became distinct and clear. Then, forsaking all, Ellis followed the God who had called him out into the field of human need, where the ambitions of self and of a lifetime were lost in devotion to others. No life is without a holy purpose. That is why God calls men. And behind this call is the mastermind, the radiant personality, the loving heart of God himself, working out his eternal purposes. Whom God calls, he equips. Earl Ellis proved it, and so may all who hear and know the meaning of the commission.
As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.
The Salvation Army singers in the song Dearest Name of Names. The Salvation Army band and songsters now march in review. Away in the distance, we hear the beat of the drums. Little by little, the marchers approach, and their joyous music grows louder. And then they pass. And as the march recedes, so do their stirring strains, until they are finally lost in the distance, leaving behind the martial memory of the Salvation Army patrol. Friends, you have heard another in a series of programs presented by the Salvation Army for your inspiration and blessing, featuring the Salvation Army band and songsters. This program has the cooperation of the American Federation of Musicians. Remember, there is a Salvation Army officer near you to whom you can turn for spiritual help and practical assistance. The Salvation Army, working for the glory of God and the salvation of souls, sends its three-word benediction to everyone everywhere. God bless you. The Salvation Army. Serving with hand to man. Serving with heart to God.